Hey, how you guys are doing? Welcome back to the Stephen Jung Show. I'm here obviously with my partner, Mark Banks, COO of the Jung Agency, guys. If you do see value in this podcast, please do us a huge favor, smash that like button, and please consider subscribing. We give you finance tips that will affect you and your family. So today we're going to talk about whole life insurance, something that everyone knows about. It's kind of the OG life insurance that started way back when they first came out in the early 20s, and that's how the Rockefellers apparently built their empire. That's what I've heard over the internet and stuff like that, and banking. So we'll kind of go over that. So Mark, thanks again for joining again, the Stephen Jung Show. Yes, appreciate you, man. All the value that you had helping clients. And so whole life insurance, has anything changed, Mark, with whole life? Is it the same insurance that your mom and grandma had? Is it the same thing pretty much?
It's in essence, it's the same, but nuances within it have changed in terms of qualifying, in terms of structuring. There's been a lot of changes in the industry just as a whole. There's so many places we could start. I guess probably the first place to start would be qualification. You know, is this right product for you? So it's not for everyone, but it's got a lot of advantages for everyone. So it's, you know, in some cases, you know, you may want to look at an IUL or term product, mm-hmm. but when in doubt, I would say whole life is the most conservative option of all the life insurance options.
Okay. Now tell me this. Now, is whole life something that everyone can get, or do you have to qualify for this program? I know it's something that lasts forever. A lot of, obviously, people I probably heard the price never changes, which is a really good thing. It's like getting a 30-year mortgage instead of an ARM or something, a 5-year adjustable. So tell about the qualifications. How hard is it to qualify for a whole life policy today?
It can be really hard or very easy, just depending on your situation. I always recommend, you know, getting it early, just like with any type of life insurance. You want to get in early when you're the youngest, when you have the least health problems, presumably. The longer that you wait, the older that you are, the more expensive it's going to be and the less options you have available to you. So the most options that you're going to have in terms of whole life or life insurance in general, start when you're young. So, you know, someone who's 2 weeks old, which is the absolute youngest that you can get whole life, you have, you know, full reign of all the options out there, as opposed to someone who's 85, which is the maximum age for whole life insurance. The options are very limited. So when you talk about someone who's 50 or older, typically you're talking simply about final expense insurance. Now, someone maybe like 70 could still get the regular quote unquote whole life. But once you reach 50, you're looking more towards final expense. So there's a major difference between the two. Final expense is what it sounds like. It's designed to just cover your final expenses. So that's, you know, burial, final tax return. That's, you know, just any incidentals when it comes to, you know, just your passing. This isn't leaving a legacy. This isn't, you know, building wealth. This is just making sure that at the absolute least, you're not leaving a bill.
Oh, okay. So 50 is probably like, that's the age where people want final expense. They're leaning towards, hey, I have about 35 years left in my life and I have to really prepare for that. So tell me the different carriers that we have at the Jung Agency. Why were we unique? I know we have talked about some that have pay a dividend and some that don't. So if you can elaborate into that to our viewers,
yes,
some education about this is very important.
So, tying in the first question, I mean, qualification wise, we have a wide range of offerings. Like I said, it will depend on, you know, your age and your health and everything like that. But we have pretty much a carrier for everyone. If you want to get whole life, there is an option for you. We've got companies that if literally you have cancer, you've just had a heart attack yesterday, they're still willing to accept candidates like that. So when it comes to that, yeah, there's a wide range of, you know, it, now it will affect your ability to get coverage day one. If you're, you know, very ill, things like that may, you know, may be adjusted. And now there are options for, there are companies that offer dividends. So there are mutual companies, Forrester, Mass Mutual, New York Life, that pay dividends to their policyholders. So, you know, every year you can either receive an annual dividend, or you can have the option for them to increase your death benefit with that dividend payment that they pay out every year. Which, I mean, if I'm getting a whole life policy, I want a plan that pays dividends, right?
Yeah, you have to get that dividend. It might be 3 or 4% or even higher now. And insurance companies are really good about keeping that dividend intact. And some people have, you might buy a policy through a stock company, and they do not pay a dividend. So make sure that you do some research and purchase a policy, I would say, if it makes sense, through a company that pays a dividend, because that is huge. I mean, especially if you're having this policy for 20 or 30 years, that can be a lot of money to help, you know, with the cash value, and which is compounding in the whole life policy, and it's uninterrupted, and you can take loans and stuff. We'll go into that about taking loans and using it for infinite banking, because it's a fixed thing, and that's a loan that's to the side, and that's not going to affect the compounding of the interest that the insurance company has agreed to pay to you. So, okay. So that's one big thing. Now, I know a lot of times you can structure in different ways where you do single premium, or you can give them $100,000 and say, this is the coverage that I want. Or tell me some other ways you could structure the whole life deal. Cause there's a lot of different things you could pay monthly, yearly, and then there's much more than that, just that.
Yeah. So, something that you want to ask your agent, is when is this policy good until, right? So some plans are structured to last until 125, 120, some are structured to only last until age 100. I mean, if you're a betting person, more than likely you're not going to live past 100. Most people.
I'd be lucky. Jeez, I'd be lucky. Yeah. 90 would be a miracle, I think. Right.
So you actually pay more if you get a plan that pays to 120. So you could pay less if you just have a plan that's designed to last only until 100. So you're actually paying for those extra 20 years in your premium payments.
Oh, wow. So a lot of people don't know that. They just kind of go to their insurance agent, and the insurance agent is going to just probably pitch or present something that you feel comfortable with, or maybe the highest commission or whatnot. And they just probably do it that way, I guess, a lot of times.
And they're like, oh yeah, you know, it's good till 125, which at the time probably sounds good, but realistically you're like, I mean,
that's terrible. That's that kind of like the mutual fund companies that we've been exposing about the fees are ridiculous, like 2% per quarter, and like ETF is like 10 basis points. So you're right. So why do you need to pay to 120? And that's excessive. That's just a way for the insurance company, obviously, to make more money. I imagine that's the only reason why they would do that. That doesn't make sense. So you're right. Take a look at your policy. Make sure it's paid to 100. If you took out a policy recently, yeah, definitely. Maybe you can find different ways to get it something different.
Yeah.
Something with a dividend, at least. And I think that's huge.
Right. And now there are other structures. You can do a 7-pay, which is what it sounds like. You just pay for the policy for 7 years and it's completely paid up. You're done at that point. You can do a 10-pay, same concept. You mentioned single premium. That's another option. That's how you create an immediate estate. So, you know, you take a lump sum. The insurance company will agree to insure you for a certain amount, more than what you've dumped into it, obviously. And you can just let that just sit and compound over time. And then you can do reduced paid up options. Let's say, you know, you reach 65 or you reach 70 and you're like, you know, I need to lower some of my bills. So you can actually reduce the face amount of your policy slightly and be done paying with the policy at that point, which is a good option. You know, especially in retirement, you're thinking, you know, I'm only getting, you know, $8,000 from Social Security. Maybe I have some type of retirement plan, but my bills are a certain amount and I want to enjoy life. So you have the option to do a reduced paid up. You can take a plan that's, say, it's got a face amount of 100,000. You could reduce it to 85,000 or so and be done paying at 65 or 70. So that's another option you want to look into with your agent. And that's why it's important every so often, or at least when you retire, to sit down with your agent and review your plan to see what your options are, see where you're at face amount wise, and see, you know, maybe your needs have changed over time and you don't need the full 100,000, and you know, that's one less bill that you can not have to pay. So something to look into, definitely.
Yeah, I've had situations where clients have called me. I've been in the business for over 10 years now, where they're during the last recession, they really needed money, and thank God they had the life insurance policy, that cash value that they're able to borrow against their own policy and not interrupt the rates that they were getting. And then they end up paying them. Some people paid it back, some people didn't. There's getting it from the cash value, you're paying yourself interest, obviously, on the policy, but policy still in force, a plentiful amount of cash value to keep the policy in force intact. So that is a huge thing, guys. It's kind of a safety net where you're putting money aside for your family in the event something happens to you, but then at the same time, you can use it, which is a good thing. I think that people need to know their options. People want flexibility these days in terms of, when can I take my money out and cash it out, right? Mark, once if I win the lotto, I'd pay for 20 years and have $80,000 or 40,000 cash value. Can I just cancel and get my money back, or how does that work?
So you can take the cash value that's accumulated over time, or there's a surrender value that your illustration will show you. And you know, whatever age you stop, you can just take that surrender value, cancel out the plan, and do whatever you want with it. Throw it into an annuity, and you know, annuitize those funds, let it grow a little bit more, and then the annuity is going to have a death benefit anyway, and it's going to allow your money to grow a little bit quicker potentially.
Oh, wow, you're right.
So a lot of strategies that you can go about it with. There's no wrong way, really. It's just your way. And it's important to have, you know, a broker, someone who's going to sit down and review your options with you. I mean, maybe you got a plan 10, 15 years ago that you have some cash value that you can put into a better plan now that's going to give you a higher interest rate, you know, with a different carrier. So you can do a 1035 exchange, take that cash value, dump it into a new plan, and then, you know, have a greater interest rate so you can, you know, accumulate faster.
And one thing that you told me about, Mark, that you've done for one of our clients is that you dumped that. They had a whole life policy they had for many, many years, and they had a lot of abundance of cash value, which is great. And then they dumped that into a life insurance policy attached to some type of long-term care or something. I thought that was pretty interesting. I think that's like the next move, because everyone's really concerned about long-term care. Can you elaborate about that?
Yeah. So, you know, depending on, you know, where you have your money, but yeah, if it's in a whole life insurance plan, you can use those funds to either use that as a lump sum to pay for long-term care, or you can use it as a head start for long-term care. You can pay up a couple years of payments of long-term care with that cash value. And there's life insurance attached to it as well. So it's got a death benefit. So if you don't end up using the long-term care, it will actually pay out a death benefit. So that's, you know, plus, 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 plus. Also, some plans come with a long-term care rider. And also, like we talked about with some of the other products, you want to make sure that it has living benefits, because maybe you don't need long-term care, but let's say you have a heart attack, you're diagnosed with a terminal illness, and you really need those funds, you know, now, then you also can, you know, the insurance company will cut you a check if one of those events happen, and you'll have something to live off of, which, I mean, for me, that's because the biggest objection I get from a lot of people, well, not everyone's, some people really, you know, they want to leave a legacy, but some people are like, you know, why should I pay for something that I'm not going to directly benefit from? But the reality is, if you get a plan with living benefits, it's going to really benefit you. It's going to really benefit you, because something, it's not will something happen, it's when something will happen, and something will happen, and you will be glad that you have living benefits.
Yeah, I think that's huge. I think the insurance agency has pivoted. We have one of our carriers that's a leader in that space with critical illness, critical injury, terminal ill, and you pass away, that's okay. But the worst case scenario is another worst case scenario would be if you get injured and you can't work for the rest of your life. How are you going to pay the rent? How are you going to pay your mortgage if you just can't work no more and do your job? And I think the living benefit you have to have, because they'll pay you, I think 5 years of income, 5 years spaced over 48 months, I believe. and they'll pay you like 80 or 90% of the face amount, some of the carriers that we have, which is a lot of money. So, and these are even on term policies too, which is amazing. You think only on a whole lot for IUL, but on term policies, we have a carrier that will do give you living benefits. So you can take a really $1 million, $2 million face amount and pay, you know, $60-$70 a month. And then if you get disabled, get paid a huge amount of money, or if you get cancer, if you get a stroke, you get cancer. I think it's not just the death benefits. The living benefit is just as valuable, if not more valuable, because you might be using that while you're still alive, not when you're dead.
And that's another good point too. It's important to not just have one type of life insurance. It's good to layer. You know, I always sit down with people like, oh, I have term. Great. You need whole life. Or, oh, great. I have whole life. Well, great. You need term. Just depending on the situation. Obviously, if you're older, you know, whole life is all that you need really at that point. Because term, you know, it just wouldn't make sense. But when you're younger, you might as, I mean, you know, you might as well take advantage of the term rates and all those benefits and the high face amount, because something happens early. That way, you know, your kids can pay for college, you can pay off your mortgage, all those other things. But then that whole life is also going to be there long term, so that you don't try to get into whole life when you're much older and try to apply for final expense, like a large face amount, because it's going to be astronomically expensive. If you're trying to get $50,000 or $100,000 at age 65 or 70, it's, you're not going to like me. You're not going to like me when I tell you the price. Yeah.
Yeah. And plus your health, you might not even qualify. You might not be preferred. You might be really, really rated or graded and just not well
in terms
of qualifications. But yeah, you're right. Getting it early, getting a big amount, and hopefully getting it with the carrier that has dividends would be just like the jackpot. You have living benefits and you have a dividend, and it's inexpensive because you're young and healthy. I think that's the biggest thing about this program. It never goes up in value. The price never goes up. The premium never goes up too as well, which is very, very good to have.
That's another key point. Yeah. So it's a fixed rate for life. So let's say you get a policy at 2 weeks old, you're going to be paying, you know, that price for life. So if it's $2 for 25,000 or whatever it breaks down to, you're always going to be able to get that 25,000 at $2 a month, which is like, that's great. And you're going to be building cash value, obviously, over that time. But the biggest value is, you know, you're locking in the rate. You don't have to worry about, you know, applying when you're older. Like I said, I mean, it's, I quoted a guy, he wanted like, he was like, oh, if I'm going to get life insurance, you know, I need at least 100,000. I was like, okay, I mean, you're 70 years old, but, you know, I'll run some prices for you. He was like, yeah. I mean, just whatever it is. And I told him the price. He drops some F-bombs. I mean, he was like, are you serious? I'm like, you know, it's one of those things. People are like, you know, I'll get life insurance when I'm older. It's fine. It is not. It is not fine. Let me be the first to tell you. You want to lock it in when you're young, because it only gets more expensive and you will need it. One thing I really like that you actually taught me was showed me was the inflationary chart. So, you know, when you talk about final expenses, right now, state of California, average final expense is typically $15,000-$20,000. I mean, if you go up north, probably 25,000. Oh, the Bay Area, it's
$30,000-$40,000. I remember my grandma, we did one, rest her soul. It was in the East Bay, but it was like, my dad already paid for the plot. He paid like, I think, $7,000 for the plot. It was like 30 years ago. Thank God he paid for the plot. They saved a lot in the real estate. And then the ceremony and the flowers and rent all the space. We had the wake. We had everything. I mean, my grandma was very influential in the community as a Christian. So, yeah, it was a lot of people showed up. I think 400 or 500 people showed up to it. But, yeah, wow. It was a very expensive ordeal, even though she already paid for her plot. And people think a lot of times, oh, I pay for my plot, I'm good. It's like, no, it doesn't work that way. There's a lot more expenses involved in a funeral. And another thing is that people don't understand, like, if you're traveling, you know, in your older years, you travel. I remember not too long ago, I was at a convention and one of the agents passed away in Mexico. So they had to fly the body back from Mexico to obviously like San Diego. And that cost a lot of money. Moving a body is like, there's like a whole process. It's not like you just jump on a plane. It's like a whole thing. I'm not too aware of it, but I know it's very expensive. So if you're on the East Coast or if you're not home, that's an expense that people are not prepared for. If you're in Korea, I'm Korean. If you're in Korea, traveling in Korea, and then like you pass away and you want to be buried back in the States, that's going to cost a lot of money to do that. One thing actually what popped up to me was something that's very interesting is that a lot of people buy plots and you're very vulnerable. When someone passes away, you're very vulnerable and they're like, hey, Mark and your brother passed away. Sorry to hear this. We think you should prepare now and buy a plot and pay for this little program that you're going to pay into this program. And eventually you're going to pay it off. And I was like, it's not a smart thing to do, in my personal opinion, because the fact that if you only make 10 payments or pay for 3 years, you still got to pay the remaining. Let's say you pay $5,000 into, you still owe another $15,000, $20,000 or $30,000. But if you took a life insurance policy out, that will cover, if you took enough, $50,000 or $100,000, that would pay for everything, right? And instead of making those payments, I mean, you just don't know when you're going to pass away. So that it creates a burden. I've had situations where, he's been paying on his plot. Well, he only took this out 3 years ago. So you still owe like $15,000 more. And that's really stressful for the family that thought that he had everything taken care of. And another thing is that a lot of times things change. You get divorced. You don't want to be next to your ex-wife or next husband. You're like, I don't want to, or my kids live in New York. I don't want to be buried in California. We have a life in New York or New Jersey. No one's going to fly out to see me. And that's the one thing about life insurance. You have the flexibility to go wherever you want to go, or maybe you change your mind. You're like, I don't want to be buried in the earth. I want to be cremated. So things change and you're buying something that you might not even use or want to use. So be very aware, guys, and worry when you're trying to, when these people, these mortuary people are trying to get you to buy a plot from them. You don't do something when you're very vulnerable and you're very, very emotional. I guarantee you're going to make a mistake. So that's my take on that, because I've experienced that.
No, you're 100% right. And then you also get to think about inflation. So, like you said, 30, 40,000 in the Bay, that's right now. If you're 30, 40, add 40 years to that.
Triple. Yeah. It's going to be insane with the inflation, the way it's running. It's historically 3%, 3.5%. It's been running like at 7 or 8, which is not normal. Obviously it's coming down, obviously, thank God. But yeah, you definitely need a lot. And I see a lot of these people too, as well, have like this older seniors that took out these small policies, like $15,000. I'm like, this is not going to do much for you. And they're not even aware of it. A lot of times they're just like, I have life insurance. I'm like, how much do you have? Oh, I don't know. I have a lot. Like I have 20,000. I'm like, you can barely maybe lucky. You're going to have to go really cheap to get buried and you have to pass away pretty shortly for that to happen, because your kids are going to come out of pocket. And if you're healthy, God forbid, no, it's a blessing that you're healthy, but there's a problem with that. You being healthy, that you're going to be able to live a long time, and it's going to be a lot more money in terms of that. And then they switch to the, hey, I want to just be cremated because I can't afford it now. It's not more of a, it's a financial thing. It's not more of what they want. It's a financial thing. It's just so convenient to be cremated because it's much cheaper. But still, it still requires money. You still need to rent a space and flowers, and people are going to show up and food and all that kind of stuff too as well.
And then if you're married, you got to think about, well, what about my spouse? What's going to happen to my spouse when I pass away? It's like, okay, your final expenses are taken care of, but maybe you still have a mortgage. Your spouse may have never had a job. Maybe they were a stay-at-home, a spouse. And now they lost their breadwinner, their sole source of income. If you really care about them, are you going to just leave them with really nothing? I mean, it's just... I don't know. Personally, I couldn't do that. If I'm going to marry someone, I mean, I would want to make sure that part is taken care of too. I mean, even if I'm not here, and my kids too. I mean, I mean, we're not even talking about leaving a legacy. We're not even talking about like the happy stuff. Like let's, you know, set up the next generation for success. Let's make sure they can go to college and make sure this, we're just talking about the bare minimum right now. So
yeah, that's true. I think that's true. Cause a lot of times I'm realizing if you have more than two kids, you're better off financially staying at home, watching the kids, cause childcare is so expensive. It's like, I always see like talking to my friends and people like, once we get to two kids or three kids, at that point, there's no point of her working. We're better off her staying home with the kids because it's just going to cost so much money for childcare and all these other things.
It's insane. It's like $1,200 a month. I mean,
yeah, it's a lot, and that's preschool's a lot here in LA. Everywhere it's expensive, and that's going to be huge at some point. It's probably better to stay home, watch the kids, and be with them and stuff like that. And my grandma raised me pretty much. My mom and dad were working all the time, and my grandma raised me. Thank God, it's like free child labor, and I love my grandma. I'm so close to her, and you know, think about her every single day. But not a lot of people don't want to do that. The old school, I'm going to take care of your kids. It's not like that. It's like, I'll take care of you, Mark. You're my son, but I'm your kids. That's your responsibility. That's your wife's responsibility. I'm not, you know, I realize like the older I'm Korean and I'm having these conversations like your grandma take care of the baby. No, they're like, no, she can't. She's too old. She can't do it. I don't trust her. La la. Or she doesn't want to do it. She's just tired. Like, I want to live my life now. I've raised you. Like, I want to enjoy myself now. Like, which I understand, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. It's tough to raise a family, and then imagine, you know, losing your spouse in the midst of that, and then, you know, now you're stuck with everything, taking care of the kids, and then also have to take care of all the bills. That's why you want to be able to leave a significant amount behind. I mean, we talked about this when it came to term insurance. You want to have like 10 times your income. To kind of replace that to, because you know, I mean, what are they going to do when you pass away? Go back to school? You know, that's that's going to take some time to recover.
So that's what you said. You need everything. You need like, it's like shoes. You need some dress shoes. You need some running shoes.
Great example.
You just need different types of shoes. Not like, you can't just have one pair of shoes that you just live on. You need some gym shoes. You need some like dress shoes when you wear a suit. I think like term insurance, you need the term insurance that's cheap, give you good living benefits. If you work with us, we'll find you a good one that has good living benefits and be cheap. Hopefully pay you dividends as well at the same time. And then on top of that, then you have a whole life policy, because that term policy is not supposed to pay out. Like less than 1% of the term policies pay out. So insurance companies make a ton of money on term insurance. And I tell people that all the time, and you can even Google that, how often they pay out. But when that expires, then you need something that's going to keep you on permanently, which would be an IUL if you're young enough and you're smart enough and you got an early, or a whole life policy if you want to, if you're like late to the game, or like, you know, because IUL is not good for people who are older as well sometimes, because the cost of insurance gets really high in those later years. So whole life would be a better fit for you.
Yeah. And then maybe you could talk a little bit about infinite banking, because I know everyone on YouTube, everywhere, everyone's like, anyone that knows just a little bit about finance, they're like, infinite banking.
Yeah,
like,
it's going to change my life. A client of mine, a friend of mine, he's a lawyer, smart guy. He's like, what's infinite banking? I don't understand. Is this a scam? Is this true? Well, the concept is that, you know, Bank of America, Wells Fargo, all these banks have a ton of whole life policies. The Rockefellers use it as well. They go out and you fund these life insurance policies that pay you an interest rate, you know, 6, 7, 8%, whatever it is at the time. And it continues to compound, and you get that every single year. And it's guaranteed by a life insurance company that has A+ rating, security, you know, stability. Now, as it grows, the first 10 years, to be honest with you, you're paying a lot of that fees, cost of insurance is for the first 10 years. So it's not going to be like, I put in $12,000 into the policy. Shouldn't it be like 17, 18? No, it doesn't work that way, because the cost of insurance, because they're preparing the fact that if you pass away tomorrow, they have to lay a huge amount of money to pay. You know, there's a death benefit. It's not just like a savings account. It's a death benefit attached to that. So they got to pay you. After you're 10, cost of insurance, you pretty much paid it all. Majority of those funds goes into just an account that's just building and building and compounding and compounding and compounding. Now, at some point you say, I want some money. Say at $50,000 of cash, I was compounded in there. So it's, say it's a dividend. It's, you chose the right company and you got a, you're getting a dividend. You put, you're putting it into it. So it's just growing even faster. $50,000. And I go out and say, hey, I want to go out and invest in a business. I want to do, I don't know, Turo. I want to buy a couple cars, buy a couple Priuses, get it out there on Get Around. So I'm gonna buy one Prius. I'm gonna go out and buy one Prius. I'm gonna get a used one for 20 grand, couple, not that many miles, 2018 or something, 20,000. I take $20,000 out, boom. Okay. I buy an asset. Okay. So now it's on the platform. I'm making money, cash flowing, maybe it's $1,000 a month I'm making from that. Okay. So maybe it takes me 18 to 20 months to get all my money back, to recuperate, to pay off. Well, I'll get paid taxes on that too, but, or just hypothetically to pay off my loan. Now, that $20,000 loan that you have is not interrupting your whole life policy. Your whole life policy is here. Your loan is over here. It's two different things. So your whole life policy is your collateral for the loan that you owe the insurance company. You owe the insurance company, ABC, you borrow $20,000 at a 5%, 6% interest rate. You owe that debt on that. So if you pass away and don't pay this debt, they're going to take it from your collateral, which is your life insurance policy. So some people don't even pay it back. They're just like, I don't care, let the interest run. I don't care. But if you're doing infinite banking, what you're doing is you're buying assets, you're paying back that money to yourself, and you're just doing it over and over again. Instead of going to the bank for money, I need money, I need a loan, I need to buy a car, you're going to yourself. And that's quite, it's be your own bank. It's infinite banking. So that's pretty much what that is. But the great thing about that is that it's not interrupting your insurance policy, which is, that's the true value, is that it's not interrupting your growth of your policy, even though you have a loan. So that's what makes it unique.
And you're still paying the same premium. That doesn't change.
Yep.
Yeah. So
still the face amount and then all that kind of stuff. And if you pass away, whatever loans are outstanding, you have to, they'll take it from the cash value or from the face amount. So it's not too bad of a thing.
Sound investment. Yeah. I mean, it's much better than just putting in a bank account, because let's say you pay into it 10 years, then you're only going to be paid out. You only have available what you put into it, as opposed to that death benefit that you've,
another thing. So it has a couple of different things that it does. It grows. You can leverage it. Most cases, not a taxable event, because you're taking a loan against your policy. That's not a taxable event, which is huge. That's what the wealthy do. That's a wealth tip the wealthy do. And yeah. So guys, I hope you guys appreciate this whole life. I mean, we went over 30 minutes while on this topic. Hope you see a lot of value in this. Please share this video to more people. I think a lot of people know the term whole life, but they don't know how that works and intricacies. I think me and Mark are experts in this matter, and that's what separates Jung Agency, I think, from a lot of agencies out there. We just do our work. We look at the numbers and we see value, and those value companies, we're the ones that working with 70 different life insurance companies. I think there is some value in that, because every company is different, and you know how they're structured and how they underwrite. And
every person's different. Yeah. Every
person's different. Exactly. So again, guys, how do you, to get to help with us, guys, if you want to have a free consultation, you can find us on all social media, JEUNG Agency at TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, as well as YouTube. Click on there and then, or go to Jung Agency, JEUNGAgency.com. And click learn more and reach out to us, and we can sit down do a Zoom presentation with you and kind of see where you're at and look at your finances. All right, guys. Thanks again. I'll see you in the next one. Peace. That was really good, dude.